Stang Gang podcast time, and time to talk about Midwestern State men's basketball with head coach Justin Leslie. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure you're telling your friends about the podcast, and be sure you're tuned into the Lone Star Conference Digital Network this week as Midwestern State makes a trip to San Antonio and Austin. I know we always complain about always having to go to Dallas Baptist. I'm guessing St. Mary's and St. Edward's always complain about having to come to Wichita Falls, but not this year. This year we're making the road trip down to San Antonio and Austin, and we'll talk about those two games coming up, but I do want to talk about this past week, and let's get the bad news out of the way first. There was a lot of buzz around the game against Dallas Baptist. We, for lack of a better phrase, hyped it up here on the podcast last week. And it was kind of a dud for Midwestern State. After time to reflect on it, what are your thoughts about that game?
Well, I saw a lot of folks at the soccer game the next day, and one of the questions, that kept coming up was, well, so what do you take from last night? And I'm like, well, I'm happy to be 6-1.
Which we do have to remind, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Eagles losing to the 49ers. You got to remind yourself you're still on top of the division.
That's exactly right. I mean, it was a it was the first adversity that we've truly faced this year. And I think in the grand scheme of things, it's going to turn out to be like you never want to lose a game. But there's a lot that can be learned from that game I think afterwards we were able to have some good conversations, have a good productive practice on Friday that put us on the right path towards Saturday. And I think moving forward, it's always good to be exposed to a team playing at a really high level. I mean, I think Thursday night, it was unfortunate that we did have a big game. That there was some hype around. We had a good crowd that we were, just very grateful for, that everybody showed up ready to support us. And we didn't play well. We just flat didn't. They completely had us out of rhythm and out of sorts. And their good night combined with our bad night just made for just a pretty lousy evening, to be honest with you.
In the postgame show, you used the Mike Tyson quote.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they came out and punched us in the mouth, and our plan went out the window. And, in the timeouts, that was one of the things that we were talking about as fellas. What are the things that we worked on? Who are we? Get back to being us. And we went out of character. And, again, just tip my cap to DBU. And, like I told, Flick after the game, great job. And I just really, really want to play you guys again. one, it means we're in the postseason, but
right.
Two, you want to get a taste like that out of your mouth. And, I think that there's a lot that we can take from that is going to help us moving forward.
Well, it was kind of good that it was the Thursday game of the homestand, because you were able to turn around Saturday, and that's how you want to rebound from a loss.
That's exactly right. I knew that, no disrespect to UT Tyler, but our best preparation going into that game was to 100% worry about us. And if we put the best version of Midwestern State on the floor, things were going to work out okay. And that was what we tried to do on Saturday. It wasn't overdoing the scout of Tyler. We showed him a few actions that they like to score off of when they need a bucket. Give Bryce Roberts a lot of credit. He made a lot of difficult shots to keep them in the game. But I think if, with what his degree of difficulty was on those shots that he was making, we just have to live with that. We got a guy taking long contested twos that he's making at the end of clocks, like, so be it. I mean, he took some very, very challenging shots that happened to go in, and that kept it to 21. In the big picture, I was very pleased with how we played. Even when they were making shots, we continued to go down and manufacture quality offensive looks for ourselves. Honestly, I thought our degree of difficulty on the shots we were taking was very low. Like, one of the biggest keys that we had was don't settle offensively for average shots or average possessions. Stay patient enough to wait for a great shot. We call them love shots, a shot that we love, that everyone in the program just
not a shot that you like,
yeah,
a shot that you love.
That's exactly right. And because I tell players, there are a lot of shots that you like, but it's not a shot that we collectively as a program love. and understanding the difference between those two. And I thought that we went out there and we had our highest points per possession game of the year on Saturday.
What did it turn out being?
Like 1.17, you know, which is, I mean, you're not going to lose games with that type of offensive efficiency. You know, so we scored 99 points, but we didn't actually have a ton of possessions. We just really maximized the ones that we had. The pace wasn't as high as some of the other games. And so I was just really pleased with how we played, you know, our decision-making. And again, just going back to being us.
Yeah, when you get in a game like that and you get around that 95 mark with a little bit of time, is there any thought about getting to 100? Does that run through players' and coaches' minds at all?
It probably runs through some folks' minds, but for me...
I mean, I know it runs through fans' minds.
Oh, absolutely.
That I know.
Well, you know, I mean, I was a... And you got to remember an L.A. boy during the Taco Bell chalupas. You know,
they would
give out free tacos everywhere in L.A. anytime the Lakers scored 100 points. So, that became a big deal. But, you know, unless they're giving out free food, I could care less.
And with that, you improved to 7-1. And Will Shepard led the team with what was a career-high 20 points for him. On 7 of 10, and there's nothing flashy about Will, but there's a lot to like.
No, that's it. You know, and Will, Will had a great game, and that's probably the most I've been on him during a game. just like today's practice.
So he can expect more of that?
well, yeah. I mean, you're a good player, and I expect you to produce. So with that is going to come, I'm going to be on you, and I'm not going to let you settle. I'm not going to let you be average. I'm going to hold you accountable to a high standard. And, I'm happy for Will. He's just starting to settle in. This is a completely new role for him, relative to what he's had previously. And I think that, the additional freedom that we're giving him, that longer leash, like you don't always know how to handle it. And, so there was one shot, like in a timeout, I asked him the question. I said, so why was that a terrible shot? And it was kind of like everybody else wanted an answer. I'm like, I want you to shoot, but I want you to shoot good shots, the shots that we love. And I want you to shoot a lot. Don't make any mistake about it. But you don't need to settle. Right. And so he's starting to come around and understand those things more, get more activity around the basket in addition to, being a perimeter shooter. I mean, he's a big, strong man that he needs to be in the fight and he needs to mix it up in addition to playing on the perimeter.
You get St. Mary's, and this is a team you've already seen in a non-conference game in what was an instant classic here at D.L. Ligon Coliseum, a game you won in overtime where I think Austin Lewis hit 6 3-pointers and had that 4-point play. Just a memorable game. You turn around now, you play them at their place in a game that's going to count in the conference mm-hmm. standings. What kind of game are you expecting this time around?
Well, I mean, I'm without a doubt expecting another hard-fought contest. I mean, they're a really good basketball team that is going to be looking for revenge. I mean, they I'm sure had a very difficult ride home after their trip up here, and they probably went back and circled this on their calendar.
I'm sure of that.
And
they're 3-0 at home, by the
way.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And so we're going to get their best shot. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to need to understand that it's not going to be the same game. We're going to be at their place in unfamiliar territory. As I kid Bubba and especially Andre Cook at St. Ed's, I'm like, I'm going to need directions, and I'm still not quite sure I'm going to show up. I mean, prefer playing you more at our place. But
I don't think Midwestern State's been there since 2017. And with St. Edwards, I think it goes back even further. I don't think Midwestern State's been at St. Ed's since like 2009.
Oh, well, there you have it, Andre, if you're listening to this. I guess we owe you one. But it's going to be tough. They're a good basketball team, and we need to be prepared to go out and compete at our best and just, bring a collective energy and, resolve and toughness from start to finish.
What did you learn about the matchup in the first game? Is there anything that you learned that you'll do differently against them?
Well, yeah. Or? I mean, I think the biggest difference for us is going to be having Amechi Chukwu and Reggie Hill playing. You know, we didn't have them playing the last time, and so we were a little bit thin in the front court. But you know, now having them back, that will change some of the matchup. I hope to be able to guard them a little bit more effectively. They were able to get a rhythm on us in that second half, started scoring a little bit more efficiently after we got out to a lead. And so having those additional front court bodies, I think, is going to go a long way to helping us, you know, be better defensively this time around.
You mentioned Amici. He had an efficient game on Saturday. He was 5 of 5 from the field. It seems like he's coming back from his injury and starting to get comfortable again, starting to look like Amici.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, we miss Amici Chukwu. I mean, when he was out, it's not just the fact that he can, you know, make plays on the offensive end. He's our best all-around defender.
And I want to be sure I'm not wrong about this, but it seems like he's handling the ball more than he has in the past. Is that
– Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Well,
or?
No doubt you are. Partly because teams put big guys on him, and so it's like, well, good luck. I mean, he's a good matchup for us in that spot. But you know, he's developing as a decision maker. But he's just one of those guys that you classify as a tweener. You know, I don't know what put a position on him.
Right,
I don't. You know, guard whoever you can guard, and offensively, just go be you. Go be great at who you are and leverage your strengths. And he fits who we are. His toughness is just unquestioned. I mean, and he's just one of those young men that I love coaching. I trust them, and he shows up every day, does his job without complaint, and is just a really, really fun player to have on your side.
And what a gentleman he is, too.
No question.
I mean, he's just a terrific guy. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Reggie, who we saw play a little bit this weekend. Do you envision reinserting him in the starting lineup, which is what his role was early in the season?
Honestly, for Reggie, just missing a couple weeks with the injury that he had, we just got to get his conditioning and his rhythm back together. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, he's definitely someone that we need to contribute, that we need to get into the rotation. But at the same time, you know, he's coming off of a lot of a time where he missed a lot of significant reps that he's going to have to work his way back through and just, you know, reassert himself over the course of these next few weeks.
How do you think Duncan's done in that starting role?
Yeah.
In his place?
Well, he's done a fantastic job. I think the biggest adjustment for Duncan now is teams are starting to plan for him. All right, you know, those first few games of the year, teams, you know, I don't think they were really ready for how much work he did over the course of the offseason. He's not the same player that he was last year. But now teams, I mean, the last two matchups that we've played, they've had a plan for him. You know, they don't want him to get off to be able to do, you know, the things that are within his comfort zone. And so that's part of the adjustment as a player. Like, okay, you made a tremendous offseason leap. Well, now how they account for you on a scouting report has changed. Now you're more of a factor. And so, okay, so now we got to go back to the drawing board a little bit. Okay, so how do we tweak some of your decision-making, some of the spots you put yourself in, what your opportunities are going to look like? And so just all part of that journey and that process for him. But he's doing great. He cares. He's working hard. You know, he did not play well against DBU, and like most all the team, and was frustrated by it. And he came back the next day with a mature mindset, a resolve. I want to get better. I want to do better. And on Saturday, he certainly was.
Yeah, it was Thursday and Saturday was such day and night. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody turned it up a notch. It was just a remarkable turnaround.
Yep.
But I don't think totally unexpected, because we had, as you said, after the Dallas Baptist game, you were 6-1. We'd seen you play well for six games before the Dallas Baptist. You have had the advantage of playing most of these games at home. You did have the one road trip to Northwestern Oklahoma. I don't think we're going to have to deal with snow going down to San Antonio and Austin. So this might actually in some ways be an easier road trip just in terms of the travel itself. But how do you take what you've done at Ligon, and can you take that on the road with you?
Well, the answer is we have to. We have to find a way to take it with us. If, you know, we want to be a team that plays meaningful games in the Lone Star Conference. We want to put ourselves in a position to be competing for postseason play. And to do that, we're going to have to go get some wins on the road. There's no way around it. You have to figure out ways to do it. You know, is it realistic to say you're going to win all of them? No. But we got to win, you know, we got to control our home floor, and then we've got to go on the road, and we've got to get some wins against good teams, which these are. And I think that that's a step that this team has to take. We again, haven't had the opportunity, but we need to go out and get some wins on some road trips. They're hard to come by, and we're going to have to collectively just buy in, pull together, and just do everything we possibly can to not miss a single opportunity to gain an advantage in these contests.
We had our first set of games in the Lone Star Conference this past week. Does anything surprise you? Eastern New Mexico looks like they might be a tough team this year, just based on what we've seen in the first couple of games.
Well, Eastern New Mexico at home, it was a juggernaut last year, and I would assume will be the same thing this year. It's a tough place to play. It's a unique setup, and they're a very talented roster. They play, you know, one of the things that you're starting to see more in the Lone Star Conference over the last couple seasons is teams that have a unique style, you know, unto their own. How we defend is unique to anybody else in the league. How DBU defends is unique to anyone else in the league. How West Texas defends is unique. Lubbock Christian, well, I'll put in there Eastern New Mexico. They play a unique style, and a lot of it has to do with their personnel. They play with true centers. Their smallest big man that they play with is 6'9". Their returning big man, and then they have 7'3" and 7 foot that they bring in, they're thick. They're, you know, 6'9", 235, 7'3", like 280, and then 7 foot, 285 or something like that. You know, when you have that type of just physicality inside and with some really lanky, long, athletic players around them, it presents some problems scoring. And it also, you know, they have a unique player, Ja'Cory Ely, returner, that is electric in transition. And he was really, really good against St. Ed's and St. Mary's this last weekend, as many of their other shooters were. So they were very good. They had a good year last year. You know, Coach Brent Owen has done a good job of improving them each year. And I think anytime any team in the Lone Star travels to Portales, they're in for an absolute dogfight.
St. Edwards then went on and beat Western 86-65. We talked about St. Mary's. What should we expect in that second game in Austin?
Well, St. Edward, they're very different teams. Very different teams. You know, the St. Ed's team is just they're very heady. They run a lot of sets. They run a very unique motion. They've got a dynamic big man, Sean Elkington, that's, you know, averaging over 20. I think he's in the amongst the top of the conference in scoring, over 20 a game. He's at the top in rebounding, and then they just play some skilled, you know, shooters, drivers around him. They're not nearly as physical as St. Mary's, but on the skill side of the spectrum, they're amongst the top of the conference. And so we're going to have to be prepared to defend at a very high level. But also, we got to go into, into their gym, and we got to make sure that we're scoring as well. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in for a long night.
Well, scoring hasn't really been a problem. You're the second highest scoring team in the Lone Star Conference right now.
That's
so
it. Well, and the one time we didn't do it, we saw what happened. So we got to keep scoring.
Justin Leslie, the head basketball coach here at Midwestern State University, joining us each week on the Stang Gang podcast. Thank you for joining us. And again, be sure to tell your friends and be sure to tune into the Lone Star Conference Digital Network. Midwestern State is back home December 18th to take on Cameron, and we'll talk about that in upcoming podcasts. Again, thanks for being with us. I'm Pete Stein. So long.